Hey, looks like we've had some technical difficulties. So crazy trying to do this stuff live. And I am actually live, as you can probably tell, coming here from the loft. So if you have got back onto the live stream, not quite sure why everything crashed before, but if you got back on and you want to give us some positive energy, then smash, mash those heart buttons, those like buttons, give us some thumbs up. We're all dying in here. Alexia, when she was doing her live stream, she had the sound of her own voice coming back to her from 10 seconds in the past, and it was interfering. So it's been a really interesting evening. The whole of our life, the whole of our experience these days, it is interesting. It's just, we're dealing with things we've never had to deal with before. We're getting all kinds of unintended consequences. We're getting things that we didn't expect to experience, and our lives are radically changed, challenged, and altered. And yet in the midst of all of this, we have a God who has not changed. We have a God who's not taken by surprise. We have a God that's not thrown when technical things happen, when computers crash, when the internet goes down. We have a God who is good and faithful and true and with us for all time. So if you like that, then give us a thumbs up. Give us an amen in the comments. You know me, you know that I like to have a little bit of feedback. So give me some love, give me some amens, and just help my heart rate to go right back down. We've been speaking, we started last week this brand new series called Secret Keys to Happiness. And it's essentially looking, taking a bit of a dive into Jesus's Sermon on the Mount when Jesus spoke. And he said, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's good news for people that are poor, that are broken. It's good news for those that are mourning, those that are grieving, those that are at the bottom of the heap. It's an upside down kingdom. Because even if the worst happens in the external world, in our circumstances, God is not fazed and God is not thrown and God is still good. And you can have a relationship with God. In fact, you can find God in a way that you wouldn't find him if things were just hunky-dory and everything went as everything was expected to go. And so in Matthew chapter 6, halfway through, the kind of the middle half of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he talks about three things. Three things: giving, praying, and fasting. So these keys, it's about generosity to others. It's about intimacy with God, and it's about denial of self. And these are things that we found ourselves being drawn inexorably to. We had the poll up before everything went pear-shaped. And in the poll, asking the question, how many of you have prayed more or prayed the same? The vast majority of people say, I am praying more. Sure, there'll be some of us that say, I'm praying less. Maybe it's a challenge to your faith, or maybe it's just a challenge to your routine. But so many of us say, I'm at least praying as much, and I'm actually praying more. Most people said, I am praying more. And you may be here watching this live stream, this chaotic farce of an evening, but you may be here because you're not normally in church. A friend has brought you, you're with a flatmate or whatever it may be, and you've started to pray. The research that came out last week is just extraordinary because it said that in our nation, around about 44% of people in Britain said, I'm praying. 3 million new people over the period of the lockdown have started praying. Who weren't praying before? Because when everything is stripped away, you have to ask yourself the question, what is life really all about? And so last week we looked at giving, and we said giving is basically about two things. It's about what you believe, and it's about who you trust. That if you believe that money is secure, that nothing will change, that things will always be better, if you've got credit, that belief in a future prosperity, then you put your trust in money. But actually, if you believe that all human wealth and the best circumstances that we can imagine, they can be taken in a heartbeat, they're not reliable, then you learn to put your trust in someone else. And that, what you believe and who you trust, put those together, that's what faith is all about. The biblical word faith, it's a combination of what I believe, what I've become convinced of, not blind faith, but a rational faith, belief that has reason behind it. But it's about trusting. You don't just believe in God, you trust your life to him. That's why you can give generously, because you trust that God knows your need and God can supply your need. So this week, we're going to talk about prayer. And for many of you, this is going to be a game changer because so many people across the UK and across the world globally are praying like they've never prayed before. And many of you are asking, I feel this urge to pray. That spiritual instinct has been awakened in you. But I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know whether I should be saying some special words. I don't feel qualified. So many people feel so disengaged from any kind of faith or religion or system of belief that you come to pray and you've got this urge, a desire to cry out for the unseen, and yet you don't know how to do it. Or maybe that you're a Christian and that you've been praying for a long time, and yet you realize that when something like this happens and we've got very little else in life, you realize actually you want to go deeper in prayer. The prayer life that you've got is actually not as satisfying as it should be. It's maybe just that you kind of consciously think about God and you pray in your head different points during the day, and that's all great, but you're thinking now, how do I go deeper? How do I develop my spiritual life? People have been asking the question, how are we going to get through Corona? How are we going to get through this lockdown? When's life going to be going back to normal? But those are the wrong questions. The right question to ask is, what kind of a person am I going to be on the other side of this lockdown? What kind of life am I going to pursue and build on the other side of this virus? Who do I want to be? And do I see, as a result of this crisis, do I see that there's been gaps and things missing in my life as a result? That I don't have the kind of spiritual life that I want to. And we're going to talk about how you go deeper in prayer. Because we're realizing at this time that if you don't have a well-developed, solid, secret inner life, then when things crumble and when the walls come down and when the foundations are shaken, you have nothing to fall back on. But having a life where you have a secret life, an inner life, a depth, a life that other people don't know about, but just your Father in heaven who sees in secret, then you really have what it takes in order to thrive no matter what the conditions of life. Now, when Jesus goes in Matthew chapter 6 and tells people how to pray, he says, listen, you don't want to pray like religious people. Remember, we said last week that religion is just spirituality gone toxic. When you make it all about yourself or all about some kind of mystical, magical way of twisting God's arm. And Jesus says there's plenty of people and they pray. And you know this. You know that there are people and they pray and it's just show. It's all about them. There's no real depth in it. It's some kind of performance. And Jesus says, I don't want you to pray like that. But he says this. He says, do not be like them, people who pray hypocritically, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And this is just the most incredible paradox. Because Jesus is saying, don't babble on, don't be worried about special religious words or big formulas. And then he says, your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. And it makes you ask the question, well, why do I need to pray then? What's the point of prayer? And there are many of you, maybe some of you right now watching, listening, you have that thing. You know, I would pray more, but I feel like it doesn't really do anything. I mean, God knows everything. He's my Father. He's taking care of me. If I'm really in need of comfort, then I'll pray. If I'm really freaked out, then I'll pray. But actually, what's the point? And if Jesus says he already knows what you need, then why bother praying? Why bother asking him? And then why on earth does Jesus then go on and give you this kind of religious mantra, the Lord's Prayer, that we're going to get onto in a moment? Why is it? Well, there's two reasons. First of all, it's because when your Father knows what you need, it does not mean that you shouldn't bring that need to him. I'm here with my two daughters. They're just literally to my right. They're making all this thing happen. I can prove it to you because Zoe right now will change the camera angle.
Oh.
Okay. Change it. Okay. Well, she is a very disobedient child. But they're both with me. And the fact of the matter is that I have a pretty good idea of what they need. I know probably more than anybody, apart from their mother, obviously, what they need. And yet I am delighted to have them come to me and share their needs, share their dreams, share their lives with me. And God says, I'm after relationship. And so therefore, in prayer, we can come before God, even though he knows all things, he still wants relationship with us. But the second reason is that prayer is not just about a bunch of needs. It's so much more. It's about having a relationship with God. And if you listen to what I'm about to go through in these next few moments, you could have a greater, better, stronger, more intimate relationship with God. You could be closer to Him than you've ever experienced before, because that's what prayer does. It brings us intimacy with God. And so Jesus goes on and He gives this prayer, and we know it as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you used to do this at school, if you're old enough to have this as part of your assemblies or part of some religious instruction, then just give us a thumbs up and write in the comments. If you have never heard the Lord's Prayer, then let us know that too. But most of us know the Lord's Prayer. And it's just possible that even though you know the Lord's Prayer, you may have been praying it wrong your whole life. Because the Lord's Prayer was never intended to just be a formula that you rattle off. It was never meant to be some magic set of words that you just recite in a religious way. Actually, what Jesus is giving His disciples as He teaches them on the mountain, He's giving them what we would call a framework prayer. Everyone say framework prayer.
Framework prayer.
Thank you. That's where every part of the prayer, it's like a separate chapter heading in a book. In other words, this is not something just to pray for, because if you just pray through and recite the words, you're done in 10 seconds. But this is rather something to help you remember a structure, a framework that will enable you to get into a closer and closer relationship with your Father. He says, I want you to go. I want you to close your door. I want you to find some space. I want you to create some space. And I want you to pray like this. And every part, and there's five parts of the Lord's Prayer, every part of the Lord's Prayer, it stands for something. And we're going to go through those. You can put these into practice in your own life and you will see your prayer life transformed. So first of all, Jesus says this. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And what this section is all about is God's goodness. Everyone say God's goodness.
God's goodness.
Thank you very much. You're getting into it now. I feel very encouraged. But God's goodness. In other words, before I get into a big shopping list or some random stuff that's just bubbling around my head, you got to remember that the whole point of prayer is intimacy with your Father. It is being close to Him. It's about drawing near to Him. It's about having relationship with Him. And when Jesus says the first thing that you do before anything else is you just say, Father, your name is hallowed. That just means holy. In other words, you express how good God is. His name is holy. His name is perfect. You give Him His due. You spend time acquainting your soul with the presence of God. Now, I don't know how many of you feel close to God a lot of the time and how many of you struggle in your faith. I would imagine that many of you, you're like me. Sometimes you just feel like I'm not very spiritual. You look at other people and they seem to be so holy, so spiritual. I remember the first time that this really got on my nut. I was a teenager. I'd grown up in church and this was in North Yorkshire. And I can remember just being in a youth group and everyone would tell their stories about how God spoke to them, how God was so clear and so illuminating to them. And they had all these words and pictures. And I just found it frustrating because I didn't feel like God spoke to me. How many of you feel like God doesn't speak to you, or you find it difficult to hear His voice, or it's just like your words are bouncing off the ceiling? And I'd been on this great big youth camp. It was in North Yorkshire on a farm. And everyone was sharing about all these stories and pictures and images and things that God had given them. And I remember just being so cheesed off. I went out for a walk and I'm walking down these country lanes. And I started to pray. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I'm fed up. I'm sick to the back teeth. All my friends, they have words from you. They hear from you all the time. They have more pictures than the Tate Gallery. It's ridiculous. And you never speak to me. You don't talk to me. You don't give me anything. No pictures, no words, no verses, nothing. You never speak to me. And God spoke to me. He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. You never speak to me. You never tell me things. You never reveal things to me. I don't hear your voice. You never speak to me. God said, I do. I said, hang on a minute. Who is this? And it was this weird realization that there was a still, small inner voice. A voice like a hunch, a voice like that voice that you get when you have a guilty conscience, something that is not always welcome, but something that if you give it space. And I began to very, very carefully and closely listen. I said, God, is this you or am I just making this up? Am I just having some crazy internal monologue? And I began to feel God actually speaking to me very quietly, very gently, and saying, listen, Philip, I do speak to you. I speak to you all the time. I've always spoken to you. And it was as if suddenly I saw things with clarity because, yes, I did recognize this voice. I have understood. I have heard this voice before. A voice that would move me maybe to give something away to a friend or to share something of Jesus with somebody when every other voice in my head was saying, don't do it. But that little voice. A voice, an instinct, an urge that would say, you need to pray. You need to read some scripture that would just draw me towards God, that would comfort me. And it was almost as if I suddenly saw how the problem is not with God. The problem is me creating space. So this is the first thing we do. We focus on God's goodness. You put yourself in a space where you can hear his voice, where you can tune in to what he is saying and what he is doing and how he is leading you, how he is moving you. And so this is why Jesus says the first thing that you do, come into God's presence. I loved what Tom had to say. I loved the fact that he talked about just being on walks, being in exercise, and just thanking God. That's one of the most effective ways that you can get close to God and that you can reorient your soul to face towards God. You spend time, you're good, you're wonderful. If you just take time to thank God for all the things that he has given you. For me, in the mornings, I come down, it's the first thing that I do. I go into my room, I close the door. I spend time just reading scripture and I find myself being warmed into the presence of God, being tuned in like a radio into his voice. And then when I've done, I start to worship and praise and thank God before I ever do anything else. God's goodness, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So this is the first thing that you do. You spend a little bit of time just focusing in on God. And in Hubs, we can go a little bit deeper into how this happens. And if you've got ideas, suggestions, then throw them in the comments. Things that help you get into the presence of God. Things that tune you into his voice and put you in a good space where you can pray. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then he says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is God's kingdom. Everyone say, God's kingdom.
God's kingdom.
God's kingdom. It's this incredible thing because you can read it two ways. And if you don't really understand the context in which Jesus is speaking, you can read it wrong. You can read it as a kind of, well, your will be done and your kingdom come. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. It's some kind of wish fulfillment, or as some kind of way of, sometimes people will literally say that all you're doing in prayer is you're just putting yourself into God's will. It doesn't change anything. It just makes you more amenable to what God is going to do anyway, because everything happens due to God's will. But that's not the Bible. That's not the world that Jesus lived in. And that's not the teaching that he gave. The words, your kingdom come, your will be done, they are in the imperative. That's a tense. It means the command tense. And actually, the way that Jesus does it is just amazing. And Matthew captures this magnificently. And Luke, he also captures it in Luke chapter 11. It's the command that comes first. So it literally means come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. In other words, we don't pray, be done, will of God, if God's will is already happening willy-nilly, whether we like it or not. The Bible says that we're to pray with power, vigor, and authority in the name of Jesus, that God's will would be done. Because right now, God's will is not being done. It's not God's will for you to suffer. It's not God's will for injustice to be so prevalent in our world. It's not God's will for people to be hurt and broken, to be bruised. And if you've been turned off religion because you got hurt, because you're suffering, that's not God's plan, not God's will for your life. And now we're seeing in this magnificent, huge, global suffering. Actually, instead of people rejecting God, people are turning to God. And they're discovering a God of love. But when we pray, we take a hold of the authority that God has given us. And this is the amazing thing about prayer, that God says, I'm giving you something that if you say, be done, then we are going to see that begin to happen. You can collaborate with the Spirit of God. You can cooperate with what God is doing in this world. And I don't know why God would do that. But for some reason, God has chosen to allow us to have a say in what happens. And if we pray, things happen. If we don't pray, Jesus says stuff is not going to happen that God wants to happen, because God's will is actually intrinsically tied up with our will and our say-so. And the more that we pray, the more that we see God's will. The more that we pray, the more that we see God's kingdom come. That's why in Metro, we value prayer so highly. And if you've not yet been to one of the Zoom prayer meetings that we've been doing every couple of weeks, come along on Saturday, join us at 12 o'clock, and we will pray, because when we pray, things happen. That's our whole history. We've seen God do amazing things in our church and in our community through prayer. And so you pray God's kingdom. So let's go through them again. First of all, God's goodness. Secondly, God's kingdom. And then he moves on and he says this: give us today our daily bread. And this is about my need. Everyone say, my need. Jesus says, listen, you've got a good father, a good God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's just. Remind yourself how good he is. And then come and put your force and your weight and your shoulder behind what God is wanting to do in this world, in your life, in your circumstance. And then as you spend time praying for friends, praying for family, praying for work colleagues, praying for the nation, praying for the government, praying for the city, praying for the church, praying for your leaders, then you say, God, this is my need. And we discover that God is trustworthy, that I can come before him as my father and he can see the needs that I have and he can meet the needs that I have. And this is the time where not a shopping list, but I just come before God because I'm trusting in God. One of the reasons that we need as a family to pray, give us this day our daily bread, is because we feel challenged to give as generously as we can. And so rather than storing up and letting money be our master and money be our provider, actually we want to give away as much as we possibly can. And then trust God, you supply our needs, and God has never let us down. My parents right now, they're watching. By the way, if you are watching with your parents, give us a thumbs up and write down your name in the comments, because I want to see the parents here. I really need to have people my own age in Metro for a change. But my parents are watching, and I learned so much about prayer and about God's ability to provide for us through my parents. I remember I was 9 years old. I was at school, and I had a bit of a thing for music. In fact, you might not know this, but for me as a schoolboy and as a teenager, the biggest thing in my life by far was music. I was a classical music guy. I played in bands and orchestras and scholarships and all that kind of jazz. I had a flute teacher. I had to learn the flute. I was playing the flute. I didn't want to, didn't choose it. My mum made me. But I got into it and I found out that I had a knack for it. And I'd been learning for about a year. And I used the school flute. And then one day my flute teacher approached my parents and she said, look, Philip, he can be good at this, but he needs his own flute. She said, they're really expensive, but I've managed to source one from a friend, a professional musician. It's £100. Now, when I was 9 years old, I'm not going to tell you when it was, but it was a long time ago. And in today's money, that £100 is around about £600 to £700. I mean, £100 would be a lot today for a 9-year-old kid with a little pipe. But actually, £600 to £700, it was just outside of our reach. My parents, they had given everything up for the gospel. They were missionaries. They had given up all their kind of worldly wealth and good jobs, and they were planting churches all over the world. And we had no money. We were so poor. My mum used to make our clothes. True story. Please don't cry for me. And I can remember we were, as a family, just gathered around the dinner table one evening, just thinking about this. And my mum and my dad, they said, look, we'd love to buy you a £100 flute, but we've only got £110 in the bank total. But we prayed. We all held hands around the table. We prayed and we said, God, give us this day our daily bread. God, provide the needs. And a weird thing happened. My parents said, you know what? We think that God wants us to buy this thing for you because we do have the money. So we're going to spend the money. We're going to give you your flute and we'll just trust that God will provide somehow. And so that's what happened. They gave my flute teacher the £100. She purchased the flute for me and I got it right here. This is my old Boucher flute. The amazing thing is not that I was able to learn how to play the flute, but the amazing thing was that 3 days later, there was a little sound of rustling paper in our hallway. We heard the letterbox flap come open and then close. And as I went down, there was an envelope, and the envelope it was just being posted through, no stamp, nothing. And inside the envelope, we opened up the envelope. Inside the envelope was £100. And at that moment, I was just so incredibly overwhelmed. God knows me. God loves me. God is aware. God can provide. And there's something being put into my heart that was never taken away, that I have seen the power of prayer. And to celebrate, if I get enough likes and hearts right now, I'm going to play Flight of the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov at the end of this preach. So like, subscribe, and thumbs up, and I'm not going to play. Of course I'm not going to play. It would be horrible. I can't play the flute anymore. I'm so rusty. I'm really, really out of practice. You wouldn't want that in your life. But the point is this, that God can provide, so we bring to him our needs. And then finally, the last two, he says this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So this is about my sin. And it's weird because you'd think that the whole sin thing, that we're sinners, you'd think that God would put that at the very front of the prayer. Before you pray, you better get right with God. But Jesus says, no, that's not how fathers operate. Your father just wants you to know him, to be intimate, to be close, and then to cry out for his will to come and his kingdom to come, and then bring to him all the needs that you have in simple childlike faith. And then when you've done that and you've got that place of security, comfort, then allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, confess your sins, and make sure that you keep short accounts, that you're forgiving others no matter what they've done. It's between you and God. It's a way of you keeping a close channel and a clear channel to your Heavenly Father. And finally, he says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is all about God's help. Before you go into the day, you spend the last part of prayer just saying, God, would you help me? I don't want to be brought into trial. That's what the word temptation means. It's trial or testing. I don't want to be tested, but if I am tested, then deliver me from evil. It's the very same prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh God, let me not have to take this cup. Let me not have to take this test, but not my will, but yours be done. If I am going to have to take this test, then give me the strength that I need. We pray, God, don't bring us into testing. Don't bring us into trial. Don't bring us into situations that we can't handle. But ultimately, if we're going to go through those, we're going to look for him to help us, to deliver us, to bring us through safely out of the presence of evil. And right now, we're all in a time of testing. We're all in a time of trial. And we can cry out to God, God, in this time of trial, deliver us from evil. Deliver our city from evil. Deliver my family from evil. Deliver my friends from evil. Deliver those that I love, that I work with, that I care for, that I know. Deliver us from evil. And we find that there is a God who answers. So we put it all together and you have these elements. You've got God's goodness, God's kingdom, my need, my sin, and God's help. You want to pray for 15 minutes? Just pray for 3 minutes on each of those things. Want to pray for half an hour? Pray for 6 minutes. Of course, you're not going to do that because we're not robots. And actually, prayer is it's a dance. It's an interplay with your Heavenly Father. And it's not supposed to be robotically programmed through. But what Jesus is doing is he just, look, let me give you a framework. Let me give you something that you can do in a million different ways. You can spin this a whole host of different ways. Every day can be fresh. But here's the basic thing. First of all, you come into God's presence and then you cry out for those around you using the say-so that he has given you to combine with his will. And then you look to him to provide for the needs that you have, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, relational, whatever it may be. He cares for you as your Father. And then you come before him and say, Spirit, search me. What do I need to confess? Many times, most of the time, we know what it is, but sometimes there's hidden things. And we just say, Spirit of God, would you just whittle those out from us? And then finally, we prepare to go into our day, asking that God would keep us from trial and testing that we can't handle. That when we do find ourselves in these challenging circumstances, we ask him to deliver us. And if you can develop that kind of prayer, if you can use lockdown as a spiritual gym to tone your spiritual muscles, to develop habits of life and faith and devotion, then you will see your relationship with God dramatically change. And you will see prayers answered like you've never seen prayers answered before. And you can go deep because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We're going to pray now before we go back into worship. But I just wanted to give the opportunity of a prayer for everybody. So if you're here, you're not used to church, you're not normally a person of faith, at least you didn't think you were, but now you find these things being reawakened within you. Here's a prayer. We're going to pray it together. Then we're going to hand over to Matt and the band for the last couple of songs. So pray this with me. This is the prayer. Pray it out loud where you are, on your own or with friends. Let's pray it together. Dear God, I want to know you as my Father more. Please draw close to me. Help me develop my secret life with you. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Teach me to trust in you and let my faith grow in this time of trial. I offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you would like to find out more about faith, if you're exploring, then again, please go to our website, woodlandsmetro.church/faith. And you can find some resources that we've put there. But let me just pray for you, and then we'll hand over to the band and we'll finish things up. Lord God, I pray for every single one of us listening here, whether in real time or at our leisure. I pray that you would develop spiritual roots that go deep down in our hearts, devotions and disciplines that set us up for life and bring us into intimacy with the Father. Would you help us and would you answer our prayers? Would you have mercy on our world? Would your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? We cry to you for our nation. We cry to you for our city and we cry to you for ourselves. Have your way in our lives, your perfect and good, pleasing, acceptable will for us. In Jesus' name, amen.